Find something completely new.
Like what?
Wait, see.
Test Vov Sivon, Tuesday the 18th of June, Baba Shloima Manus, Bosso Vacholov.
Morning. I'd like to say the Divrei Torah in Nishmas. On the one hand, my brother Yoina Reb Avrom Tzvi, whose yahrzeit was last Tuesday. My father's yahrzeit, Reb Avrom Tzvi, Reb Moshe HaKoyen, whose yahrzeit's next Shabbos. The Divrei Torah should be in Nishmasom. You say in this week's parsha, it's very parsha to understand, the parsha of the Misoinanim. Klal Yisrael came along after they got such a wonderful thing called the Mon. As we know, they came along and complained to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Chalnu es Adogo, Asher Noichal b'Mitzrayim, es HaKishuyim, es HaVatichim, es HaChotzir, es HaBetzolim, es HaShumim. A list. What's this list? Most of us will probably remember the Rashi. That these things, these certain foods, were damaging to a lady who was feeding a baby. They were damaging for them, and therefore the mon wouldn't change into these few different foods, even though the mon would become into anything. So the Gemara already discusses in Yuma, what does it mean the mon had the taste of any food I wanted? What does it mean? Did I actually see in front of me a nice Kuczynski cake? Did I see a banana? Or did I just imagine, this is a banana, close your eyes for a second, oh, this is a banana. This is a piece of cake. This is a steak. This is a bowl of cholent. How did it work? So there's many machlokes in the Gemara in Yuma, whether it was just tam, taste.
Well, how did it happen? You could decide what
else it should have. We won't go to those politics. That will be it. We'll never finish. Yeah. Or did it actually have mamoshes? Was there some sort of texture to the mon that gave it a texture of that food? The pashtas, the machlokes in the Gemara, but most, or big chelik of the achronim learn that it probably had texture too. If I would give a lady that was feeding a baby crisps flavoured with one of these five things, would it cause any harm? Very likely not. It's eating the actual texture of that certain food that therefore will give the baby in congestion, stomach problems and wind and whatever we call these different problems. So very likely it was texture more than the actual taste of it. But here's the machlokes in Gemara and Yuma. Just derech agav, if we're already talking about the mon, many ask, what bracha did they make on the mon? Or did they make a bracha bichlal? So that's already, you knew that Chassid writes it, and the Ramami Pano, they both write, hamoitzi lechem min hashamayim. It came taka from Shemayim. That's the bracha. Moitzi lechem min hashamayim. The Maharsha has a very, very interesting. On the Gemara says, "Also la'adam le'enos me'oilam azeh b'li bracha." It's forbidden for a person to benefit from this world without making a bracha. It's not the Maharsha. The mon didn't come from this world. We all know the mon came. Chazal bring down the mon had the taste of Gan Eden v'chulei. So very likely the Maharsha says it didn't make a bracha at all. The Gemara says, "Also la'adam le'enos me'oilam azeh." Without the bracha, this is not oilam azeh. This is oilam
azeh.
It doesn't say where you're enjoying it. It says where it came from. May oilam azeh. It's been grown. It's made. It comes from this world. That's where it's also to be nehna, to have benefit.
But they had to make cakes of it. They had to do something oilam azeh.
They didn't have to do anything. They could have just gone. Each one went and gathered in their oimeh of mon, and that was it. You didn't have to do anything to it. You could imagine, you could try and imagine different tastes. So that's the Ramah, that's the Maharsha, there's a Pashas and the Maharsha, they make no bracha bichlal. And some people say, the Achronim have seen brought down a different story, that they made a bracha according to what they imagined. If they imagined it was going to be a piece of cake, so it became a zaynus. If they imagined a fruit, it became very peitz, and so on, according to the fruit they imagined. That's just derech agav on the bracha of what they made. There's a question asked by some of the Achronim, what would happen if I had my piece of mon? And I said to myself, you know what? I've never had a cheeseburger from McDonald's in my life. A real juicy possible chod of cheeseburger. Gefaldig. None of the goyim plates. Nearly made on the mamo. Could I sit there with my piece of mon and say, I want my mon to taste like a cheeseburger? A nice, gesunte piece of possible chod of.
Why not?
Oh, so you ask a good question. Why not?
Are you eating
bosu b'cholov?
Yes, yes.
That's the question. What's the mon? So let's see a Gemara. There's an interesting Gemara. There's a Gemara in Chulin. There's a Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuftes. One of the few times in Shas that the Gemara mentions the wife of one of the Tanoim of the Amoraim. They're not mentioned that many times with a name. Sometimes the Gemara talks about Isis, the Rav Shmuel, the wife of. Here the Gemara says, and he gives us a name. Yilta. Yilta was the wife of Rav Nachman. So Yilta asked her husband, Omale Yilta Rav Nachman. Yilta asked her husband Rav Nachman. She says, as we know, there's a rule that anything that the Torah forbid, opposite to that, the Torah gave something that was mutter. The Torah is not there just to forbid everything. The Torah gave us something that was mutter. Called the Osolon Rachmona, whatever the Torah forbid, Shorilon Kabosei. He made something similar that was Mutter. And the Gemara goes through a whole list. You can't have chel of behema, so you can have chel of chaya. The Gemara goes, Eishasish, Gerusha b'chaya ba'alo, Yavoma, Eishasach, you can marry Yavoma, v'chulei v'chulei. The Gemara gives a whole list of things where it would be also on one side, but the Torah allowed you something else on the other side. So she asked her husband like this, Kusis, the Gemara says, come marry Goisha lady, but you fast toya. You can marry a fast toya. So she asked the husband, Be'inon lemechal bistra b'chalba. I want to eat basa b'cholov. What am I going to do? I'm not allowed to go to McDonald's and buy him with a katasya heksha, a cheeseburger. What am I going to do? So what did the husband of Nachman answer her? There's one I ate, so he said. Oma lehu Rav Nachman l'tabachir. Rav Nachman said to the cooks in his house, Zviki lo k'chalo. Roast for her the k'chal, the adder of a behemah. The adder is where the milk of the animal gets stored. If you roast it, it's like we roast liver, which caches it. It's meant to draw out all the milk. But this adder will still have some sort of taste of basa b'cholov. There are more, there's a machloikas in Shulchan Aruch between the Mechaber and the Ramah about eating the adder. There are more writes very against it, because he writes it's basically impossible to get out every drop of milk. The Mechaber's matter it. I remember many years ago when we were learning in Koilel one time, Basa B'cholov, there was a Svadish Yid who came in every day for Mincha, a Talmud Chochem, and every day he used to ask, what are you learning today? So one day we said, we're learning Kechal. He says, isn't madam, what a delicacy, the Svadim eat it. And he told us it's a real, real, soft, delicious delicacy. The Svadim eat it, not often, because most of the butchers, most of the shechita houses just throw it away. But you can get it. And he said it's very, very, very tasty. So that's what Rav Nachman told his wife. You want basa b'cholov? Eat the adder. Spread the chidor. How could you eat the adder of a behema? But when you're eating it, you know it tastes like basa b'cholov. Is it basa b'cholov? If you've roasted it, you've drawn out all the milk. But Rav Nachman answered his wife that this is the closest to basa b'cholov, seemingly there must be some flavour of basa b'cholov in it. And Abba became its mutter to eat. Must be, concludes the chidor, must be, that if a person knows that something's got the flavour of basa b'cholov, but it's not actual milk and meat together, must be that it's mutter. Says the chidor, so if so, I could take my piece of mon. I could imagine I've got a nice whopping cheeseburgers that you see them advertised. Nice gesunte piece of what tastes like basa b'cholov. But there should be no issa. Just like the kchal. That's what the Ramah, that's how the chidor wants to learn.
Kchal was different. It had real milk in it.
And that was mutter.
But the other one didn't have any milk. No,
so therefore the chidor says must definitely be that it should be allowed.
Yeah.
If the udder was allowed, even though you know that there should be some milk taste in it, but if you followed the halacha, the same as people, some people say even after we roast liver, there is some sort of flavor of blood. Liver doesn't taste like any other meat that we eat, because it gets salted differently. It doesn't get salted with salt. We have to roast liver. And we all, Baruch Hashem, enjoy a delicacy, a good place, a nice chopped liver on the Shabbos morning. We all eat it. There's no problem. I don't mind. If we know we followed the halacha, even though there's something might taste like something that could be osa, we followed what the halacha tells us. Kadosh v'kadin, we're all fine. Says the chidah, must be the same thing with basar b'cholov in the morning. So they could eat basar b'cholov. The chidah uses this to answer another kasha. The chidah asks a question. There's a chiyuv to eat matzah on Pesach. How did they eat matzah on Pesach? Matzah is chameshes min hadogom. So I sat down there on Pesach by night and I imagined my mom should taste like matzah. Are you yotza? The chiyuv matzah with that or not? It's not a matzah. Nobody sat in the oven shouting, no, a matzah, not even a rain. 18 minutes, all getting nervous, sweating. Nobody's done that. Is this a matzah or not? So the chidah says, the Gemara brings down, what can I use to be mekayem mitzvas matzah? Anything that I can use that fits in the category of Baal Toichal chometz. Anything that I would not be allowed to eat on Pesach as chometz, that I can use as matzah. Can I imagine on Pesach that the piece of mon I'm eating, I want it to taste like a Shena chometz dikke Kuzhinsky cake? Can I do that? It's awesome, Pesach. So the Chidah wants to learn out the same thing, like by the Basar B'cholov. I'm not eating an Issa, I'm just imagining it, and I can eat it. So he says the same thing with the matzah. If they could imagine the piece of mon they were eating would change into chometz on Pesach, it might be awesome, but they could do it. So that type of piece of mon could be used as matzah, because that type of piece of mon fits into the category of Baal Toichal Chometz. You must eat this as Chometz. So says the Chidah, that's how the Mekayim matzah on Pesach. And from there the Chidah learns about Basar B'cholov. They could eat Basar B'cholov. They could imagine the taste of Basar B'cholov in their mon. Many Achreinim, a Cholik on the Chidah, on a very simple calculation. The whole mon was a Nes. No question about it, it's never been repeated in history with all science. Nobody's ever managed to make one food that we can imagine tastes like something else. It was Maisa Nissen. So many of the other Achreinim learned, Maisa Nissen, the Rebbein Shem wouldn't make Maisa Nissen to taste like something that's awesome. But that's the Chidah, and the Chidah learns that they could have Basar B'cholov on Pesach. We know the Torah writes three times, Lo Sevashel Gedi B'chalei Vimoy, as we know, Echad Le'eso Bishol, Echad Lisa Achila, the Echad Lisa Ano. It's three times the Torah mentions it. One to tell us I mustn't eat it, one to tell us I mustn't cook it, and one to tell us I mustn't benefit from it. Yoridea Simon Peizayin, the Alocha Paskins, only Basar B'cholov that's awesome mid to Oiraisa, you mustn't eat, cook, or benefit. What's awesome mid to Oiraisa? Loisavashal Gedi, Gedi is an animal, only a piece of animal meat. To exclude a behemoth, to exclude a chaya, which means like a piece of sheep, cow, those types of animals, that cooked with milk is also midoraisa. I mustn't use that. I mustn't eat it. I mustn't cook it. And I mustn't benefit from it. A piece of meat that's only also midrabbonon, like a piece of chicken or a piece of deer, on the other extreme, it's only also to eat it. You can cook it and you can benefit. Which is therefore, if somebody has a factory where he cooks chicken with milk, he can cook it, he can sell it to the Goyish market because cooking's allowed and the benefiting is allowed. It's only the eating that's allowed.
Also,
not allowed, sorry, yes, correct. The eating is the only one that's forbidden by, that's called Rabbonon. That's Basar B'cholov Rabbonon. Then the halacha gets to discuss it's from a forbidden animal, Basar Behema, Basar Chaya Tmeya, Cholov Chaya Tmeya, milk from a tummy animal, meat from a tummy animal, they're all only drabonim. Obviously, if it's from a tummy animal, you can't eat it anyway because it's tummy, but you could cook it. And you could benefit, you could sell it, you could market it, you could do what you want with it. That's the halacha in Yerudeya Peites, the beginning of Peites, we know the halacha writes, how long does one have to wait between meat and milk? So it all starts from a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara brings down Ma'ukva. Ma'ukva said about himself, Ani chomets ben yayin, I'm vinegar, the son of wine. My father used to wait 24 hours between meat and milk. I said, I'm vinegar, I've gone sour. How long do I wait? Misuda lesuda, from one meal to another meal. And that's where we get the whole controversy. How long does one need to wait between meat and milk? We'll go very quickly through the shittas. The Mechaber Paskin, 6 hours. The Ramor's first shitta is 1 hour, which is still kept today, I think, by Yidden in Holland. They keep the 1 hour. That's the Ramor. And the Ramor finishes up yesterday. Kachanoyakim. That's the Minag. Then the Ramor brings down the 6 hours. The Shachan Taz, as we know, the famous Shachan Taz, they write on the 6 hours. A Ben Torah or Reach Torah should be keeping 6 hours. We've got the Rambam Shitta. The Rambam writes K'moy Sheish Shois, like 6 hours. Doesn't write six. So from there, all the Achronim are Medayek, already some of the Rishonim. He writes like 6 hours, but he doesn't write 6 hours. So from there you get this 5 1/4, 5 1/2, v'chulei, v'chulei. To answer those who say, I wait 3 hours, and many people say, well, 3 hours? The Yekas all waited 3 hours, and as a child, that's how I was brought up. 3 hours, that was the family minak. And many people turn around and say, where does that come from? Where does 3 hours come from? There's no such a thing. There's one, maybe 5 1/2, and six. Who made up five? Who made up three? No. So I'll tell you. I looked and I searched. I found eventually a Darki Tshuva. There's a famous sefer on Halacha, the Moon Catcher, over 100 years ago, the Darki Tshuva. The Darki Tshuva quote, and I checked it up afterwards, a Rabbeinu Yeruchim, a Rishon. Rabbeinu Yeruchim in Klolei Yisra Beheta writes, 3 hours. So Baruch Hashem, there's a Rishon who says it. If a Rishon could write 3 hours, for those who wait 3 hours, you've got Baruch Hashem, a Rishon to rely on the Darki Tshuva quotes him. 3 hours is the minhag. Those who have that minhag, you have that minhag. Everybody keeps their minhag. You got the minhag of 3 hours, it's Rabbeinu Yeruchim, it's mentioned in Halacha, it's not. As I used to hear, Amala heard a Choshverov once say, somewhere along the lines it's coming. There's no somewhere along the lines. Rabbeinu Yeruchim is a Rishon, no less than the Tosfos, the Rashi, the Rambam, the Rosh. Not a Rishon, called Rabbeinu Yeruchim, maybe he's less known. A Rishon. Ramos Achron, Rabbeinu Yeruchim's a Rishon. Where does it come from? So Rabbeinu Yeruchim explains where he gets it from. The Gemara writes, the Ma'ukva said, you need to wait from one meal to another meal. So the question is, how long is the time gap between one meal to another? What's the time gap? So Rabbeinu Yeruchim writes, where he comes from, people used to eat small meals every 3 to 4 hours. So he learns the time gap between one meal to another meal is 3 hours. So Ramon learned the time gap between one meal to another meal is 6 hours. If you tell me today in England, people wait 9 hours between meal to meal. Do you need to wait 9 hours? No. Because you've got the halacha that brings down whatever amount of hours you need to wait. And that's what we follow today. Even though our cultures and our health and our diets and all these big things that go on today, diets, shmiats and all these things, people eat less, and people eat this, and people eat that. Doesn't make a difference, it's Allah, and that's it.
In Holland, they eat every hour.
Oh, so then that's the Ramal. The Ramal writes every hour. The emphasis is the Ramal writes, Ramal's first words are, you don't have to wait the hour. One Suda to another Suda. You finish up your meaty meal, your bench, clear away the tablecloth, wipe everything away, start afresh, half an hour later. If you can eat another meal, half an hour later, start. Then the Ramal writes 1 hour. So that's where it all comes from. But 3 hours is a... It was always Rabbeinu Yeruchim to rely on without any problems.
Thank you.
A pleasure. If that was the whole shir, that was... Shiezei Schori, as we say. I come from Yekish Stock and I'm here to... Baruch Hashem, to say I'm proud. The question like this. So Baruch Hashem, we all wait, wherever we wait, our 3 hours, our 6 hours, 1 hour, 5 hours... Each one, the 24 hours, whatever you want. I'm a vegetarian, I don't eat any meat. Whatever you want, each one with their minig and their mishigas today. One other question where it gets a lot of shyness about is hard cheese. What hard cheese? Is it true hard cheese? Is it synthetic hard cheese? Halacha brings 6 hours down. But is it really hard cheese? Well, Halacha writes hard cheese is it sat for 6 months. When I was a child, my grandmother used to bring from Holland, it's, I think it was called Gouda cheese. Those are proper things. It sat for 6 months and you could taste it. The round, as Shimon says, the nice round blocks, that sort of a yellowy plastic on the outside, red or whatever. And that was it. That was proper hard cheese. Today, most of the hard cheese you buy hasn't seen 6 weeks, maybe 6 hours. Some of them have literally, you see the production date written on it, and it's in the country supermarkets not that many days later. It's all synthetic. They put things inside it today to accelerate it. Is that hard cheese? I'm not going into the shyness. It's poiskim lekan velekan. Some will tell you definitely. It's got the same taste. Some will tell you it's a texture. Texture's totally different. It's much softer. The old hard cheese was hard. It's a very hard type of thing. Today it's very soft, usually the texture. We're not going to go into that shyness. So today, all of us sitting here, Baruch Hashem, don't get into any shyness of Bosa B'cholom. Where might there be a problem? Well, we might not even realize sometimes we get into a problem. I came across, I think, 2 problems. And that's what I want to share with you. Baruch Hashem, you've had the children, the grandchildren over for Shabbos, labor to Camille, the tablecloth. There's plenty of memories of the meal on the table, a bit of cholentin, a bit of something else stuck there. I'm not talking about stains, I'm talking about proper pieces of meat. Some bummish, a piece of meat stuck on the tablecloth. And then you've got the milky tablecloth and cheese spilt and yogurt spilt and this and that. And you put them together in the washing machine. You put them in the washing machine, they're touching each other. The washing machine's going to cook them up. Washing machine works by hot water, it's going to cook it up. So the meat and milk can be cooking together in the washing machine. Is there a problem?
Yes, no.
No? No. Okay. So there's no, I'll go down and I'll finish here and that's it. Why not? Who said?
Because it's with detergents, right?
Oh, let's get there slowly. Let's go slowly along. Let's go slowly along. There's 2 types of washing machines. That's the first thing you've got to know. In the European washing machines, most of them that I've seen and investigated, they have 1 inlet for water. Correct me if I'm wrong, but most what I've seen have 1 inlet for water, which means they let in cold water, and the machine cooks the water inside the machine. The American machines have 2 inlets. A cold water, a hot water, you want 70 degrees, he'll let the water in, or whatever the temperature is in the boiler, 100, he'll let in enough cold water to get it up to 70 degrees. What's the difference? Very simple difference. On Shabbos, there's an Issur Bishul, we're machmir for Kli Rishon, we're machmir for Kli Sheni very often. By Bosa B'Cholom, there's only an Issur to cook Kli Rishon. If the water came cold into the machine and the machine cooks it, so the machine is my kettle, that is my Kli Rishon. So I'm cooking the water in the machine together with the Bosa B'Cholom, it's in a Kli Rishon. I'm literally doing Bishul without the detergent. We'll leave detergent out for a moment. Let's go stage by stage. I'm cooking the Bosa B'Cholom together inside my machine.
No
Bishul? Slowly. Very good. See, I don't need to say the shit, you could all come up. You gotta give it on my behalf. So there could be a problem. The American machines, where they usually let in hot water and cold water, so it all becomes a cliché-y, so there's much less problems. Because it's a cliché-y, we're not machmir. Even by Bosa B'Cholom D'Oraisa. I'm talking about you had a piece of meat from a cow and some cheese. Bosa B'Cholom D'Oraisa in America, where the water gets cooked and an external source and it comes into the machine hot. So the machine is only a cliché-y, there's no Bishul or Bosa B'Cholom by cliché-y. So there you've got no problem. So we'll talk about the machines, most of the European machines, that cook it. So somebody said very correctly, how much meat are going to be on your tablecloth? Such a cube. How much cheese is there going to be? We're not talking about mounds of meat and mounds of cheese. If your kids are that bad, you should be using plastic tablecloths. So you're not talking about that much. So the water comes in, the machine's taking today 8-10 litres of water. It's bittel. Human metal, we know. Bosa B'Cholom, bittel b'shishin, 60 times the amount, all fine. But as this Yid said, there's a halacha, ein mevatlim issa lechatchila. You can't lechatchila take a little bit of milk, go outside to the coffee room, take a bit of milk, pour 60 times water in it, then go pour that liquid into your chalent. You can't bring a bottle of milk and then go pour it in your chalent. If something happened, then we have to work out what's the 60 times the amount to say that your chalent, your pot of a chole is beseder. But to do it purposely, you're not allowed. The washing machine is...
If you actually saw a piece of chicken, meat and a piece of cheese, if you...
Okay, if you didn't say, obviously, we're talking about the... If we, let's say you know that you've got it on your tablecloth. So you can't be mevatel isser lechatchila. You can't lechatchila go and make it now, make it baka b'shishim. You're not allowed to. That's the halacha. If it happened and we start working out, the Rav will say to you, 1 minute, how much liquid, how much meat, this and that, taking all different calculations, say, oh, there was shishim, your pot's fine, you can eat your chum for Shabbos. You can't go and do it. You drop a milk, pours in, you quickly pour in a few gallons of water to mevatel it. There's no such a thing. That's awesome. So the washing machine, you're putting in the... So somebody said to me, it's not a shame, it's chavin. I'm not a chavin to mevatel it. Why do I want water in the washing machine? I want the water in the washing machine to wash my clothes. But it's not true. Part of washing the clothes is to get rid of the milk, to get rid of the meat. You don't want the clothes to come out, the tablecloth to come out clean, but with still with a piece of meat stuck on. You want to get rid of that piece of meat. So it is mechavin. You've got kavana for it. You've got intention for it. So then, as you mentioned correctly, what about soap? Detergents are nice and tam nifgam. They give a detrimental taste to what's happening, to the meat, the milk. So noisetam lifgam, so it's bleas, it's pieces of meat and milk of noisetam lifgam touching. So what's so terrible? So I saw a sefer where somebody actually researched the whole washing machine, went to different technicians. Most times, you might be shocked by this, most times you put in a little bit of powder against the whole machine. Most times the actual powder doesn't touch the actual piece of material. It's somewhere in the water. So then the question starts, is the water enough of a bad taste to take out the taste of the meat or the milk? And they claim very often not. So you can't, it's very hard to definitely say that it's noisetam lifgam.
So you wouldn't need a plate from a dishwasher. I mean, on a plate, it hasn't been rinsed.
Right.
So therefore...
Yeah, we don't know. Obviously we don't know. It's not definite. With our washing, we also do it. But this technician researched and checked, and then he stopped the cycles of the washing machine in the middle and took out different garments and put it under microscopes. And very often you could see water, but you couldn't see any traces of detergent, which there should have been. And all we're talking about the detergent that has to touch every little drop of your tablecloth to know definitely that it touched that piece of meat or that piece of cheese.
But it's also not even cooking it in the milk.
But if they're touching together, they could manage to be cooking. So the Achrayim talk about the barichas. We could talk about it for hours. There's three options. Well, there's actually four options. One option is the simplest option. Shake off the tablecloth before you put it in the washing machine. Say, well, what might be left? Stains. Stains is not a proper... It's only bleas. It's not a proper piece of meat. You're fine. That's one option. The other option is many washing machines today have a 40-degree cycle. Even the biggest machmirim on Yad Seledes Poi, which is the minimum for Bissell, is Ramosha, many others, not Ramosha, sorry, against the opposite side of Ramosha, they all say 42 degrees is the minimum to get to Yatsu Ledes Boys. If you have a 40 degree wash, you haven't reached Yatsu Ledes. If you haven't reached Yatsu Ledes, you haven't done Bishon. And then, many of the Achronim write the tziruf of the water. Are they touching? The detergent, v'chulei, you can get away with it, you put it in the washing machine. If people can do it and put a separate wash for the fleishik tablecloth and a separate wash for the milchik, that's obviously going to avoid all problems. That's one area.
Why should it become meaty if you wash a meaty tablecloth?
No, because it's definitely not, because it's shishim. There's definitely water. There's definitely shishim of water. Well, you're going to say you're going to cook afterwards your milky pizza in the washing machine. I hope not. I haven't yet met the washing machine. I know my Zayda, Mr. Merrill, used to say the microwave does everything. But having yet let the microwave actually washes the clothes. So we have to worry about eating it. That's one area where we can sometimes get to shaila to bosom b'cholov. See, time's very short, but there's one other area. And that's something I noticed this year on Erev Pesach. You're making sreifas chometz. Somebody's got a nice gesunte meat pie left over. And somebody else has got a few pieces of pizza left. And they throw them together into the fire. Now, there's definitely no shishim there, because those two are literally touching. And the fire, for a few minutes, you watch it, they sizzle and they cook nicely till they actually get burnt. And there's another problem. You often get, especially, I don't know, it's soil, I don't know what goes on here. There's kids there with their sticks, stoking and turning. So literally, there's the problem of what's called mamaya, maybe, to make the bishul go quicker. There is literally that is a big problem, a big area of problem, of when you put basar b'chol of proper d'oraisa meat, the piece of proper meat, together with a pizza, with cheese, and you burn them together in Erev Pesach, if I had the time, very, 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 very b'kitza show you. You tell me, what's the problem? What's the problem? So you're cooking basar b'chol of, it's not for hanor. It's to burn it, for it to go away. What's the problem? But you're not benefiting. You're not going to eat this bishul. It's not a bishul as to cook. It's a bishul to burn it. I don't want the chametz to be left over. I don't want to cook the chametz. I want the chametz to be destroyed. So somebody said to me, no problem. Pour paraffin in. Pour paraffin on the meat pie. Pour paraffin on your pizza. Then you've got no problem. Because then it's always the time it's come. But that is another problem. Because according to Shittas Rebbe Yehuda, there ain't beer chametz and a sreifa. You've got to burn the chametz to beer. If you put paraffin on it, you're not burning chametz, you're burning paraffin. So you're not making the mitzvah. So you don't want to put paraffin on it. You can do it if you want, but you don't want to do it because you're not going to make your mitzvah. So now you've got your piece of cheese and your meat pie there together. The best option is try and finish off all your chametz before burning. Then you've got no shilas. But one second, I'll show you. There's an interesting. Shari Tshuva, a Behetev, a Mishabru, a Stira between them. What's the din? Ishari Lahadlik, Nechanika, Bechema with Bata, Shenispashla Bekitera Shabasa Ben Yoimoy. Somebody warmed up his Bata to make it soft, that he can make a candle out of it. And he did that in a meaty Ben Yoimoy pot. If you tell me, what's the problem? I'm not eating it, I'm not benefiting it, but there is Chanika you must even benefit from. So maybe you should say it's allowed. And there's a stira because they both bring down the Shari Ephraim, both the Be'er Heitiv and the Shari Tshuva in Tof Reish Ayin Gimel, in Or HaChaim, Hilchas Chanukah, Shmonim U'Psilos Aksheres. And one writes, U'Posak the Mutter, the Be'er Heitiv writes it's Mutter, no problem. And the Shari Tshuva writes, Mashikosu Bishmoy, what the Be'er Heitiv writes, Mutter hu lehefech, it's just the opposite, the Be'emes Osa, it's Osa. And the Mishabru, the Paskins, because of that, Mishabru writes, in Siv Cotton Base, Mishabru writes, the Bosa B'chol of Ne'er, you should not use, and he writes the same thing in Reish Samech Dalet, in Hilchah Shabbos, what candles you can use for Shabbos, he writes the same thing. If you've got the basar b'chol of candle, this butter that's been cooked up in a fleishig pot, or the other way round, fat schmaltz from an animal that's been cooked in a milky pot, you should not use it, not for Chanukah and not for Shabbos, because even though you're not cooking it up to eat, but lemaisa, you're doing mekayim either mitzvah of ne Chanukah, ne Shabbos, therefore the same thing, when you're burning your basar b'chol of in your fire, you're doing a mitzvah of biur chametz. You might not want to eat it, and there's no purpose to eat it, but lemaisa, you're doing a mitzvah of cooking with a benefit. So therefore, that is a mitzvah.
But candles are trade for fat,
there's no good. Mishabru's got a thing about Hilchah Shabbos about trade for fat, that's what happens. We don't even kosher that. So the mitzvah, that's the point where you've got to be very careful, is by Bir Chometz. As I say, the best option is to try and finish up all the meat pies and the pizzas beforehand, then you've got no problems.